You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Summertime and TPC, there's few things like it. It'll be Christmas time again before you know it. I mean, here we are.
Halfway I remember through I was year. In the seventh grade when Nifty Thrifty Honda 50s came on the scene, and all the cool guys had one. And if you had a Honda 50, you would have a girl on the back seat.
Ah.
That was it.
Well, I tell you what, we still had a chance back then. We got a chance now, and we're gonna win. I'm not even thinking about anything else. But, Keith, as far as it goes, was it better then or now, as we sit here this evening?
Undoubtedly better then.
Okay. Now, we have a little bit of a surprise in store for you later this hour. We're not going to reveal it yet, but a listener in Texas sent me an interesting clip. And there was a guy I couldn't call quick enough to get his comment about it. We're going to play that for you just a little bit later this hour. And then some more fun in the third hour. I want to thank Stefan Brockes from Arctos Media and Europa Terra Nostra for joining us live from London during the first hour. I enjoyed talking with him about a couple of his recent articles and some other issues of the day, not the least of which how our people are faring over there in the mother country. But speaking of British guests, we've had a lot of them over the years. But how about this? Now, this was something that was sent to me, I believe also from the aforementioned Barrister Davis. And, well, it's interesting to say the least. This is British broadcasting from a bygone era. We're thinking
it's either
this
late 50s or early 60s.
Circa late 50s, early 60s. And this is what you would have heard from the BBC back then. It is a host of a particular broadcast who is talking with a gentleman, a British gentleman, who at the time, late 50s, early 60s, was a candidate for Parliament. He was a parliamentary candidate and also an official advisor to the Egyptian government in Sudan.
And remember, this is the time, that moment in history when Enoch Powell gave his Rivers of Blood speech to Parliament.
So
he was the first real English nationalist who was opposed to non-white immigration to England.
So we'll take you back there, and this is what you would have heard on the BBC back in the late 50s, early 60s. Again, parliamentary candidate, advisor to the Egyptian government in Sudan. He's talking with the host, a BBC host here, about interracial relationships. And I'm going to get it potted up here in about 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Marriages, such as you, sir, I imagine, Mr. Wentworth Day, and you were, in fact, an advisor to the Egyptian government and the Sudan, so you know what you're talking about.
Well, I've been there and seen them in their own home surroundings. And as a parliamentary candidate, I've been into a good many working-class houses.
Oh, they have?
Where there have been, oh, yes, indeed. Where there have been many mixed marriages, and I've seen the children. And my view is this, that no first-class nation can afford to produce a race of mongrels. And that is what we're doing. Sooner or later, that's going to come back on the children. Those children are unfair hostages to the future. It's unfair on the children. It's unfair on the nation. It's one of the reasons why France is a third-class nation today. Too much mixed blood. Look at the other angle. The black man, and I refuse this humbug of talking about the colored man, he's black and we're white, has a different set of standards, values, morals, and principles. In many cases, their grandfathers were eating each other. Well, the lion doesn't change his spots in all that time. But look at it this way. They come over here. They cause housing troubles, employment troubles. Ask any landlord of working-class property. Where they go in, the houses become cesspits of dirt.
Now, this is not inevitable.
Very often. If a black man makes a lot of money, what do you find? Again, a lack of taste. He's flashy. He's very often arrogant.
Well, to go back to mixed marriages, which is the specific subject talking about, are you implying that a half-caste is in any way mentally deficient?
Definitely.
Because there's nothing to prove this at all.
That unfortunate child is born with an inferiority complex. If it isn't born with it, it grows up with it.
You can't possibly say that it's born with an inferiority complex. That's something that we instill into it later.
We may instill it, and also the pure black people may instill it themselves. Because they have an instinctive contempt, you know, for what they call white trash.
But if conditions were different, there was not the social prejudice, such as you have, and there were not the practical difficulties, then if two people were in love, wouldn't you recommend them to get married?
Love is a very curious thing. It depends on how you define it. I think a lot of these mixed marriages are caused purely by downright sex or sloppy sentimentality.
Have you got a daughter yourself?
I have a daughter who is young, charming, intelligent, with taste and discrimination.
Well, what would you feel if she said that she was going to marry a colored man?
I should strongly advise her against it. I should give her all the practical reasons why not. I should ask her if she wanted to wake up in the morning and see a coffee-colored little imp on the pillow beside her, calling her mummy. If she did marry him, I should be bitterly disappointed.
Well, I couldn't disagree with you more, but at least you do say what you really feel. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was the BBC back in the late 50s, early 60s. That guy, whoever he was.
You call a spade a dirty shovel is my
Well, it was a serious discussion, all right? And the host, of course, pushed back or at least feigned disagreement. But and nevertheless, you look at this was just a guy. We don't even know his name. This was just a representative of the local population. Obviously, he had some sort of a position. He was running for parliament.
He was a government employee. He probably came from a very well-to-do background.
But look at how well-spoken and polished. And, I mean, certainly the standard has fallen since.
Yeah, he was absolutely right with his prediction.
But that was interesting. And anyway, I'd been sitting on that for a while. And since our first guest happened to be from London tonight, I thought that would be a good way to work that in. But that was a serious. Now, of course, the host would have been fired for not pushing. But first of all, the guy would have never been invited on a major broadcast television program to even give his side of the story. And if the host didn't push back any harder than that one did, he'd have been fired as well.
And secondly, and thirdly, you would never have found somebody saying the conservative viewpoint who was not falling all over himself trying to apologize for his position. This guy, I mean, he was strong as Garrett Snuff.
He didn't even think about needing to apologize. Why would you apologize? No, he told the truth with authority. He told it very clearly, very plainly.
Hit the nail on the head and drove it straight.
That just goes to show, I mean, that's the difference in what you could have expected to have heard even on network programming back within your lifetime, Keith.
Oh, absolutely. I remember the 50s and the 60s, and there was not a lot of shilly-shallying around. People did not have any problem at all taking the anti-civil rights movement position of, you know, this shame that has been instilled in people is the result of Jewish control of the media. That's why, you know, you can. I remember people like Mike Wallace trying to shame James Eastland.
Senator Eastland, yeah. Yeah. Okay, listen, we've got a surprise coming up for you a little bit later this hour at the half hour mark. One more segment, and we'll get to it. We got another clip we're going to play, and then a man featured in this clip who will probably be well known to you. Is going to answer himself. But we got two news stories we're going to cover in the next segment. The recent Supreme Court decision and Trump's latest indictment.
Hey there, TPC family. This is James Edwards, your host of The Political Cesspool. Folks, I want you to subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper. Against all odds, AFP has and continues to publish a populist, independent print newspaper with an unparalleled track record. Founded by a dedicated group of experienced patriots, AFP pulls no punches and tackles the most controversial and pressing issues facing America from an America First perspective. I've worked with the American Free Press since even before the beginning of TPC. Now that's something. You can subscribe to the print edition by visiting AmericanFreePress.net today, or simply pick up a handy digital edition subscription. However you do it, subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, by visiting AmericanFreePress.net or by calling 1-888-699-NEWS, AmericanFreePress.net.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
A busy night at TPC, as they always are. Keith, you've got two big stories to break down in one segment. And I know you struggle to do that because you're a counselor. You like to hold court, but we got to do it because that's all the time we've got.
We're going to do it.
We're booked up tonight. We actually had to bump somebody to make room for what we're doing this evening, and we'll get back to them. But, all right, very quickly, the Supreme Court ruling in Alabama. So Alabama has six congressional districts. Five out of the six are helmed by Republicans. You've got one that's helmed by a black. They say that Alabama's voting public is 26 or 27% black. So having one out of six districts is pretty much right on par. If they had two out of six, they'd be overrepresented. But they say that the lines as they are currently drawn in Alabama are disenfranchising blacks based upon the Voting Rights Act. It's the Supreme Court cucked. You had Roberts and Gorsuch moving over to the left.
I thought it was Kavanaugh.
But excuse me. You are correct. You are correct. It was Roberts and Kavanaugh. That is absolutely right. That moved over to join the leftist justices. And basically, if you're 25% of the population, as blacks are in Alabama, you don't have 100% of the congressional seats, you're being disenfranchised. That's pretty much how I read this.
Well, what do they say? Old habits are hard to break. Even though we have a conservative majority Supreme Court now, and even though there has been movement against the Voting Rights Act of 65, which is where all of this silliness about redistricting came from, that you couldn't redistrict in the interest of your own party, old habits are hard to break. They're still doing it, even though they don't have to, because they want to be invited to the right cocktail parties. They want to be considered a nice, genteel person by the establishment. The establishment, on the other hand, thinks it's nice and genteel to have children having sex change operations. So I think it's time for the conservatives to stop trying to pacify and impress the left. You know, any time that you can win, you need to drive it home. Believe me, if the shoe were on the other foot, the Democrats would be sure to
be. It is on the other foot in many of the states, and they do exactly that. In the states where the Democrats have control, they gerrymander the districts to give themselves the benefit. In states like this, you have Alabama, they've done the same thing. One out of six, that's pretty much on par.
We've got to stop being ashamed of acting in our own interest.
And in Texas, which is a Republican state, you have a district that was carved out especially for the radical black malcontent, Sheila Jackson Lee. We've talked about this district before with Steve King. Her district looks like a kid took a pencil, a kindergartner took a pencil and just started drawing jagged edges on a piece of paper. Her district it's completely nonsensical the way it's drawn.
And
that
Sheila
it's
Jackson
only
Lee.
There to give her a seat.
And Sheila Jackson Lee is one of society's chronic malcontents. She must have one of the lowest IQs of anybody in Congress. But she gets this position, this safe position,
Where in a Republican state, by the way.
In a Republican state.
In metropolitan Houston.
In a state where they could obviously have gerrymandered her out, but they did not, because white people believe that the proper approach is heads I win, tails heads you win, tails I lose.
Well, now Alabama's going to have to go back and redraw their districts. I hope they have enough guts to redraw them even more.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you've got to look. We're in a fight for our lives, people, and if we don't take advantage of every political advantage that we have, we are going.
Well, they
to
already
lose.
Raped.
And once we lose, it's lost forever.
They already raped and robbed Alabama of having Roy Moore as a senator from all of the
or Jeff Sessions
made
look,
up.
They ran, you
well,
know, this, the whole
he chose
thing.
To leave, but anyway, but it, well, regardless, a big loss at the Supreme Court this week, but we move on. Hasn't been our first loss, but that's okay. Now, let's talk about Trump's indictment. Now, he's been indicted in New York, as you know. Now, he's been indicted in Florida this week, and he's going to have to do the same thing. He's going to have to go to the courthouse. He's going to have to plead guilty or not guilty. He may or may not be in handcuffs. He's still going to get indicted in Georgia when Fannie Willis of Atlanta
gets
around to it, and it's coming. So it's almost comical. I mean, it's very serious. I mean, the message being sent is it doesn't matter if you're a billionaire. It doesn't matter if you're a media mogul. It doesn't matter if you're a former president. If you get out of line, we're going to put you down. And that's the lesson to all of you dissidents out there. If we can take down a guy like this, we'll take you down. But in the meantime, Trump is fundraising off of it. He seems to be having a good time with it. He's still obviously running. But this whole thing, the media, oh, isn't it great that nobody's above the law? Well, everybody's above the law if they go along with the system narrative.
Yeah,
if
right.
one guy
like
steps
Biden.
Out half a step like Trump, then this is what you get. Or Elon Musk or Kanye West. But what do we got?
Well, it's a racial thing again, okay? He's being prosecuted by black prosecutors in majority black venues. You have trial by jury, our traditional safeguard.
Well, you're talking about New York and Atlanta. I don't know about the Southern District of Florida. That's probably all right. But
well, I guarantee you there are a lot of non-whites down there. And nonetheless, they know that the trial by jury will not work.
Well, he said that. That's why he didn't defend himself against the E. Jean Carroll stuff. He said, You cannot get a fair trial in these districts.
Well, what they don't tell you, for example, you hear about runaway juries and personal injury cases. They never tell you that the runaway juries are always in majority-minority venues. That's where the people can't believe that they've been handed someone else's checkbook.
We talked about that.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying, though, is it's very pertinent on this point, though, that as long as, you know, you cannot trust minorities not to vote tribally for their own people and against the interests of white people. And that's what Trump is learning. That's what the rest of the nation is learning. This is, you know, when things can't go on forever, they won't. This situation where our judicial system has been totally corrupted by, integration and by immigration policy, things like this, this is the result of it. Basically, any white person in a place like New York or Atlanta or Philadelphia, you're toast. If you have a...
That's the question, Keith. That's the question I have for you. As a, what is it, a ward of the court? What do they call you?
A member? Officer of the court.
Officer of the court. Yeah. Black man in facing an all-white jury in 1950s Mississippi or Donald Trump facing an all-black jury or majority black jury in New York or Atlanta, who has a better chance at receiving justice?
The black person in Mississippi in 1950.
There you go. So anyway, so the Trump indictments, I mean, obviously this is only, and I think this is good for us. It's wonderful in some ways. It further polarizes the electorate. Nobody who was, it radicalizes them. Nobody who was a Trump supporter before is going to see this indictment and say, oh, well, I was wrong about him. No, it's only going to further weaken and erode their faith in the system, which is good for us. And I think our only possible path to salvation is if people say, but we have to have something new. We're not reforming the system.
Well, Fox News and all the other so-called conservative media outlets, they will never say that it's a racial matter and that that's why Trump is being prosecuted, where he's being prosecuted, and why his prospects are so
grim. Well, Fox News is no friend of ours. Tucker was
no,
all right.
See, but this is what I'm saying, though. See, people need to realize they need to go one step further. This is not just Democrat shenanigans against a Republican candidate. It is black shenanigans against a white person.
And of course, the left-wing hate groups, the ridiculously named Anti-Defamation League, they need to take out the anti. All they are is a defamation league. The SPLC, who actually has outright ties to someone who's been accused and arrested and arrested and charged with domestic terrorism, they updated their hate watch list. Now, we are still on there now for almost 20 years running. I'm always very proud of that. I'm always excited to be able to tell you we're still on the list. But they put the Moms for Liberty on the hate watch list. Now, Moms for Liberty, I know. Moms for Liberty is a group of, like, school moms who don't want their children to be taught that they need to lop off their sex organs in grade school. But they're on the hate watch list now.
Yeah,
certified hate group.
Moms for Apple Pie will be the next ones on here. You know, this is
well, they had the Singing Nuns of Spokane on there. Yeah, I'm not joking. That's their name.
Well, that's what we need to do. We need to give our advocacy groups names like the Singing Nuns of Portland.
I guarantee
like
you the Singing Nuns and the Moms for Liberty have never had anybody arrested and charged with domestic terrorism. The SPLC
but
can't
that's
say
not
that.
For lack of trying by the SPLC.
So the enemy is doing, I mean, we bring this up, exactly what we would have them do. I mean, they have done more to get our people to realize certain truths than I think even we, with all of our talent, the best efforts, could have done. Because they're doing it on such a wider scale. Well, we're being censored. They're doing all this stuff out right in the open, and people are seeing it and saying, no, hang on a minute, something's not right here. So we'll see what happens. But this whole persecution of Trump, Donald Trump's the only elected official who, I don't even believe he's done anything wrong, but you're telling me he's the only one that's done something that's an indictable offense? Why don't anybody? I've never heard of anybody else getting indicted. Jim Trafficking? I mean, people who were decent get indicted. All of these other career criminals, they never get indicted.
Yeah, I tell you what, Trump has all the right enemies. I'll have to say that.
All right. Well, we've got to take a break. You're talking about needing to get to the next step. We're going to bring on a surprise guest who was on with us recently. We weren't expecting to have him back so soon, but we're having him back. He looks like a guy who'll get you to the next step. We got the guy next.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Jerry Varmish. Former President Trump is calling his criminal indictment a, quote, travesty of justice.
The ridiculous and baseless indictment of me by the Biden administration's weaponized Department of Injustice will go down as among the most horrific abuses of power in the history of our country. Many people have said that. Democrats have even said it.
Trump speaking on Saturday in Georgia. Alan Sanders, professor emeritus of political science at St. Peter's University in New Jersey, says it was an expected tone from Trump.
This is entirely in keeping with Trump's strategy. Consolidate your base with whatever lies or whatever conspiracy theories or whatever machinations you can conjure up that will activate your base.
A 37-count federal indictment was unsealed on Friday in connection to Trump's handling of classified documents at his home in Florida after leaving office. President Biden has a message for transgender children and the entire LGBTQ community.
You are loved. You are heard. You are understood. And you belong.
Biden spoke Saturday on the South Lawn at what he called the biggest pride celebration ever at the White House. America's most prolific bomber has died.
Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, was found dead in his prison cell at the age of 81. He'd been moved to a medical facility in North Carolina in December of 2021 due to his failing health. Kaczynski evaded capture for nearly 20 years and was known as America's most prolific bomber. Here's former FBI Special Agent Clint Watts.
He was sending mail bombs, I think as late as the 1970s, going well into the 1990s, if I remember correctly. And it was during the era when we were worried about domestic terrorism.
Kaczynski's 16 bombings resulted in 3 deaths and more than 24 injuries before he was finally arrested in 1996. I'm John Schaefer.
This is USA News.
Right now, you can eliminate odors, mold, mildew, bacteria, and viruses in your home with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm uses oxy technology that naturally sends out O3 molecules that seek out and destroy odors. The thunderstorm doesn't mask or cover up bad smells, it eliminates them, leaving that fresh, clean smell, just like after a thunderstorm. The thunderstorm is small, plugs right into the wall, and fits in the palm of your hand. Put one in your basement, bedroom, family room, kitchen, or anywhere you want clean, fresh air. It even includes a USB cord for your car or truck. right now. Save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack for whole home protection. That's 3 units for under $200, a fraction of the cost compared to other air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code USA3 to save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Use USA and the number 3. Shipping is free.
Ladies and gentlemen, earlier this week I received from a very loyal and longtime listener and friend from Texas the following clip that was recently played on The Daily Show. This is obviously a very mainstream broadcast, and the title of it is the title of the clip is "These Conservatives Sound Like the KKK." And you'll hear Marjorie Taylor Greene say something and then David Duke say something back from the past. Then you'll have a couple of other people speak. Then you hear Donald Trump saying something and David Duke saying something. Then you hear Tucker Carlson saying something and then David Duke saying something. The description of this particular clip, which aired on The Daily Show, reads, "Conservatives like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Tucker Carlson, and Donald Trump spout ideas identical to those from David Duke." Let's listen to it. It's a minute long.
Joe Biden's 5 million illegal aliens are on the verge of replacing you.
The government of this country is on course to replace us with non-Europeans, non-white people.
And coming from all over the world, they're also replacing your culture.
All the people coming in, it's even affecting the culture of the country.
That's right. They want you to disappear.
We need to actually get up and fight for the white race, or there ain't going to be no white race.
They care more about the illegal immigrants at the border than they do the American people. They're giving out handouts to them.
The country just don't care about us Americans. It's all about a handout to all the illegal immigrants.
If you're white, you have to go to the back of the line discriminating against white people.
There is racial discrimination going on right now in this country against massive numbers of white Americans.
Anti-racist is a whole weird ideology that, quite frankly, tries to make white people second-class citizens.
White Americans are being treated as second-class citizens.
There are now two standards of justice.
It's a dual system of justice.
The foreign-born population is now growing by 132,000 people every month.
The non-whites are reproducing rapidly.
Eventually, there will be no more native-born Americans.
Our people are having few children. We've got to start protecting our race.
How precisely is diversity our strength?
So how is diversity our strength?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I saw that clip, and David Duke was back with us most recently on the May 20th broadcast.
It was prophetic from the very beginning.
For 2 hours. But I saw that, and I thought that was reason enough to call him back a little bit, a mite early. David, welcome back to the show. You saw that. I saw that. Basically, the so-called conservatives are of today are using your issues. You were right then. They are right in these instances, using your very language, as the Trevor Noah show was able to put together, and I think that's a good thing. What do you say?
I think it's an interesting acknowledgement anyway. And but the sad thing is that I meant it. And when I got elected to the House of Representatives in Louisiana, I actually got a bill passed in the House of Representatives, which caused a lot of ruckus around the country. Unfortunately, not much imitation, because nobody else elected in the whole country was willing to offer the bill that I offered and get it even passed in their legislative body. And it was a bill that forbid racial discrimination against everyone, but specifically outlawed affirmative action programs, which were nothing more than racial discrimination against white people. Now, from the time that I was 15 years old, 16 years old, I've been speaking about this. I went to LSU in 68. America was still a 90% white country. I said then that you may not believe this, but there's going to be a time, by the time we reach retirement age, and by the way, I'm there a little past it, by the time we reach that time, we're going to be heading for minority status. We're going to be outnumbered and outvoted in our country, and very soon they're going to be able to cause the balance of power to take over our government. And I said, you know what, this power structure, the blacks that are going to be enfranchised, the blacks that are going to get the so-called civil rights, they're going to be worse off than ever. They're going to be killing one another. You're going to see a destruction of the black family. And that's exactly what you do see, the insanity that is going on. And many blacks are talking about this. There's a great movie right now called Uncle Tom 2 and Uncle Tom 3 coming out, where they talk about the house, the whole civil rights thing was a con. So it wasn't really about civil rights. It was really about taking away the rights of European Americans, even more importantly than the individual rights we had for a certain time, like being discriminated against in jobs and scholarships and promotions. We have a government in this country that says how evil it is to discriminate against a young black person. And I agree with that, but it's just as evil to discriminate against the better qualified white person, and that's what affirmative action is all about. It's discriminating against people who work harder and study harder.
The civil rights movement was a big lie. Was not pro-black so much as it was anti-white.
Yeah, and it was basically was about politically enfranchising these people, because half of these blacks don't read and write. They don't pay attention to this kind of stuff. But they knew that if they could just get these blacks. And by the way, I don't believe in voter registration drives. I don't want people voting who don't care about voting. I don't want people voting who are not intelligent enough to read and understand and try to get to the bottom of things. It's in a way that is exactly what our founding fathers were worried about when they gave us the Constitution, and they allowed very strict regulations and qualifications for voting.
And all those things they had back in the civil rights movement, David, that they found so objectionable, like literacy tests whatnot, that's just basically in line with what the founding fathers' vision of voter responsibility should be.
But, you know, this is another thing that's really important for all of us to understand. If people want to put their resentment against black people are black people. But the real bad actors in this whole thing were the Jewish leaders of the media, Hollywood, gangster rap, and all this other stuff that demonized white people and bred into black people a deep hatred in their hearts against white people. And you know what? It's resulted in massive violence against us. And that's what's nothing is ironic. The lies of the Jewish media are just so intense. I mean, think about it. They tell us every day that black people are being killed by white people. If you watch a movie and there's a cross rape in the movie, it's always not a black raping a white woman, which is the more common cross-racial crime in this country. In fact, it's 100 times more regular, 100 times more expected than the other way around. It's massive crimes against white women, massive. Of course, all these people that talk to us about women's rights and women's dignity and all that Me Too-ism, they don't talk about this horrific, epidemic of rape against children.
Somebody pointed out recently, David, that if you watch Law and Order and its spinoffs, you would think that 75% of the murders committed in America are committed by white businessmen.
Well,
that's all of those.
And if you had any cross-racial crime, it would be white people killing black people and then blaming an innocent black person for it. When the reality is, the United States Justice Department figures show that even though black males, which are most of the criminals, are 6% of the population in the United States, they're murdering or raping or assaulting 560,000 white people every year, plus killing a lot of black people as well, more black people than white people. In fact, white people are a small percentage of the crime against anybody, whites or blacks. It's just amazing to think about this stuff, and that's the reality. But they've demonized us, and this is not about, the NAACP was not about empowering blacks. Civil rights was not about empowering blacks. It was about creating a balance of power for the Jewish takeover of America. And what you're saying about Trump is ultimately, Trump didn't take on the Jews directly. In fact, he said everything nice about Jews. He was out of New York, and he knew Jewish
power. They still hate his guts.
Yeah, of course they hate his guts. They hate his guts because he had an agenda that conflicted with a Jewish agenda. And the Jewish agenda was to dispossess white people in this country the same way they used Jews, their own people, to dispossess the Palestinians in Palestine. They wanted to make black and other minorities a huge section of the population. Then they wanted to demonize white people, inspire them with hatred and lies like they're being killed by whites, to vote against white people. Now, this thing about Alabama is very interesting because when you look at Alabama, I'm very familiar with Alabama. So they say, okay, so they have to redraw the map. They can't have any sort of districts that are in line just with the population area. But they tell us every day it shouldn't matter what the population of a district is or a country is. They say that shouldn't matter. But they sure think it matters in Alabama. They have to distribute these blacks and concentrate them even by weird borders for their counties and so forth so that they can maximize black regulation. They don't give a damn about any sort of white representation. You know, I got 65% of the white vote for the United States Senate. Amazing. And for the United States, for the governor of Louisiana, 65%. So whites are 2/3 of the population of Louisiana. So 65% of that group voted for me.
Hundreds of thousands of votes. I mean, yeah, massive.
But blacks,
massive
but listen to this now. Blacks who are being used as a tool against, you know, for the Jews. That's what it really was. And it was Jewish money and it was Jewish media that created this whole thing. They were being used, right, in this whole campaign to do what? It was very, very simple. It was simply to get their people in power in the Democratic Party and these Jews who are controlling the Democratic Party and much of the Republican Party. And by the way, when people say it's Democrats or Republicans or they say liberals or conservatives, the common denominator is not any of those groups. The common denominator is Jews. And Jews are the ones that are destroying our country.
Quick break. We'll be right back. He never pulls a punch, does he, Keith? We'll be right back. David Duke.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we continue with the one and only David Duke, former member of the Louisiana State House of Representatives, former Republican nominee for governor, former Republican nominee for United States Senate out of the state of Louisiana, I want to remind you that our second quarter fundraising drive is well underway, and we do need your support to stay on the air. A year ago at this time, we always try to give you thoughtful incentives, unique incentives, the kind of incentive gifts to encourage you to donate that you could not receive anywhere else. And we certainly did that a year ago at this time when we were offering you a signed photo of David Duke's artwork, a photograph he had taken in Europe signed in gold paint ink. I actually met with David about a year ago at this time in Dufuniac Springs, Florida. It was a stormy night. That's
dark,
right.
Dark and stormy night.
It was. He was traveling through one of his many appearances. I happened to be on a vacation with my family, and we met in Dufuniac Springs, and we had a meal together. And Dufuniac Springs, Florida, there in the Panhandle. And he signed photo after photo after photo that so many of you have received. And David, I'll have you know, that was a year ago now. the summer of last year.
That was so one of your best fundraisers.
Absolutely. It absolutely was. Because the gift was so unique.
We'll have to do
another
picture for Christmas.
You're on, my friend. You're on, and I will tell you the kind of people the ADL wouldn't know whether to, you know what, or go blind if they knew the doctors, the attorneys, the people who make this country what it is, the first responders who paid to get that, who donated to get that. It was a wonderful thing. We've got another one, also unique, maybe not that unique as that particular photo, but we've got a pretty good fundraising incentive package for you this quarter as well. So we'd encourage you to donate so you can continue to hear radio like this and guests like this. Now, a mutual friend of ours, David, a young man up in New York, said that clip that we played a moment ago, the Trevor Noah clip from The Daily Show, he actually was subjected to in his class. This was how the teacher was saying, hey, this is how evil the Republicans are. Everything they say sounds like David Duke. But I was reading an article this week. Pat Robertson. Mm-hmm. Now, I said Pat Robertson, not the other Pat that we know and love so well. But Pat Robertson was called home to his eternal reward this week. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the third hour. But there was an article. Pat Robertson has been completely savaged by the press in light of his passing. And they said Pat Robertson in 1998 gave rise to David Duke and Pat Buchanan, who were basically running in overlapping campaigns in 91 and 92, who gave rise to Donald Trump. And so they linked Robertson to Duke Buchanan and then to Trump. You wouldn't have had Trump without that breadcrumb trail. But they're saying there was a common denominator with the issues. These are winning issues, as Buchanan himself wrote in the Houston Chronicle, October 24th, 1991. Take a hard look at David Duke's portfolio of winning issues and expropriate those not in conflict with GOP principles. Duke's message comes across as middle class, merit-based, populist, and nationalist. And so what? You know, the reason, David, and I'll tell you this, and I told you this on the phone earlier today, the reason why you are the world's most savaged man by the media is because you were the biggest threat. You were the biggest threat. You
biggest
very
truth-teller.
Nearly were governor. You came a lot closer to winning governor than anybody else.
It was incredible. I had no millions or billions like Donald Trump has, but I came very, very close, and I'm just sorry we didn't get it all the way. But let me tell you one thing, though. I did pass some legislation when I was in the House of Representatives, at least in my body. But the sad thing is we have all these Republicans who often say something about affirmative action now, negative. Has one of them filed a bill, like when their prior times in the state legislatures that they served in are in Congress? And just wouldn't that be instructive just to file a bill in the United States Congress and say, we got a bill here that is going to take the civil rights for every American, and we are not going to allow any race to be discriminated against who's more meritorious for any position that's a government position or a college position, anything supported by the taxpayers. All these positions have to be awarded on merit, and you can't discriminate against any race, including white people. But you know what? Not one Republican would do that. Donald Trump talked about us going by the back of the bus and how we are being discriminated against. He didn't say one word about it in an evening message to the people of the United States. I mean, he's disappointed. But at the same time, we got to understand, he did talk about immigration as our chief threat. And the reason why I supported Trump in the last race, even though I was disappointed after his first 4 years, was because I knew the alternative was even worse. In just the first few months, the first year or so of the Biden administration, no more immigrants in the history of America have come in. They're flooding us. And this is going to be changed for all time in this country. And if Trump had been elected, I think the numbers would still be low today. All this stuff that Biden did wouldn't have happened. And I don't think we'd been in war with Ukraine and these other things as well. But still, here's the point. The reason they hate Trump is because he began to challenge their agenda on the global scale. And part of their agenda, you see, was to get our minds off of our well-being in our own country. It's not the borders of Ukraine that are important, or the borders of Iran or Iraq or Israel that's important. The important thing is the borders of this country. The important thing is our own people surviving in our own country. And that's not what's happening. We have a government. The government of the United States is the enemy of America. And you know what? The Russian foreign minister of Russia, Lavrov, actually talked to Europe and talked to America in a speech and said, unless Europe stops this immigration and changes this change and stops this change in their countries, and America stops it, and the rest of the Western world stops it, they're over. They're going to be destroyed. Russia is trying to increase the white birth rate. Russia and Russian proper of Russia, the Russia is part of other countries which are somewhat non-Russian, obviously. But they have to have this alliance, because if that was broken, then they couldn't stand up to the global Jewish agenda. But the truth is that Russia is on our side. It's a Christian nation. And all of you, don't let yourself be fooled, for those of you who are Christians. Putin's a Christian. They built 60,000 churches. They don't go with LGBTism. They don't go with all these kind of programs that we've got going on in this country. They don't let the organs of their little girls and boys be castrated or taken off or mutilated. Well, David, they don't let this happen.
David, let me say this on your behalf. You are the canary in the coal mine, as that clip from the Trevor Noah show shows. And I think one of the crucial things that you add to the debate that no one else does is that you talk about Jewish power and influence candidly. Until people understand the Jewish connection behind all of this, all the leftism, every left-wing egalitarian movement had their genesis with Jewish power and influence. Until they understand that, they'll never solve the problem.
All right, let's let that be a statement. Because right. I've got a question. David, I've got to ask you.
Well, the biggest lie is Jewish, it is white supremacy. It's not white supremacy in this country, we all know. It's Jewish supremacy. That's the reality. And the real racist, the ultimate racist on planet Earth, are the Jews. And this is the element, this is the establishment that Christ fought against in his ministry, and why the Jews wanted to crucify Christ, because he was bringing a message to the Gentiles of the world and all humanity, but the Jews didn't want that because they wanted to be supreme over everybody else. And so they fought Christ, they persecuted Christ, and the whole New Testament is about the Jewish persecution and hate against Christians. And they still hate Christianity today, and they're in their Hollywood, they're the ones who are destroying Christianity, and they're destroying the European people. It's okay to preserve your people and be a Christian. But at all the same time, we've got to recognize that Jews wanted to rule everybody else. We don't want to do that as white people. We just simply want to preserve our own people, our own heritage, our own faith.
We're like Greta Garbo. We want to be left alone.
I agree with all of that, David. And I got to ask you this, my friend, before we run out of time. I mean, again, we're bringing David on tonight. A little surprise nugget here for you, ladies and gentlemen, in light of this.
I'll come on every week for 10, 15 minutes.
I would love to. Believe me. We had you on for 2 hours, which is almost unprecedented. We never have a guest on longer for an hour. David Duke comes on. He wants to stay on 2 hours, 3 hours. We let him. March 20th, a great and powerful show. Got a tremendous amount of feedback. Not March 20th, May 20th. But he's back on tonight in light of this clip. But I got to ask you. I mean, a lot of people have been attacked, but the biggest threats they actually try to put in prison, and I think that's what they're trying to do with Donald Trump, to try and take him out of the box.
Yeah.
I had a good conversation about that earlier today. They did do that with you for at least a while. What's your reaction with the total BS, if I can use that
Well,
we're not going to relitigate that. We know that.
But we're not going to The point is they want to put him in – this is 100 years imprisonment. They're saying that he's committing espionage. And by the way, the entire effort to impeach him, the entire effort, he's going to be in five or six different courts and in venues like in Manhattan, where
while he's running for president, he's going to be indictments.
This is just like the Soviet Union, when the Jews in the Soviet Union were taking over and murdering tens of millions of Christians. People think I might be crazy to say this. This is eventually coming here. They want to kill us, and they want to replace us. And my God, Lord God, help our children unless we stand up and defend our
people.
Hold
on to your guns and the Second Amendment. That's the only difference between us and the kulaks.
Well, that's right. But the thing is, I hear people talking tough all the time. I'm not advocating violence. I think right now, with their power they have to eavesdrop on you and track you and satellite you and everything else, you've got to win the hearts of the people. That's the only way we can win this battle. But I hear tough people, Amen. People tough talking all the time, but they'll never even talk about the people. The enemy is doing this to us. This is Jewish invasion.
Yeah, you're right. I've always said the my cold dead hands NRA types, the first knock at the door, they're giving away their guns. So this is it. We got to.
Right.
I agree with you.
Yeah, but they're gonna wet their pants if they were asked to mention the Jews at the city council meeting or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's right. Yeah, they will cuck on everything else, but when it comes time to live or die, they're going to fight. I don't think so. So we got to fight this way as we're fighting. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, don't advocate for violence. So perpetuate it. Don't engage in it. Don't say anything you wouldn't say or do in front of a government agent or in a court of law. Right. That's the way to go.
Be nonviolent, and I urge violence, not only from a moral standpoint, but that's the only way we can win. And that begins by telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Look, you can find me at davidduke.com. You can also find me on the Rinse Radio Network every morning, weekdays at 10 a.m. Central Time. And you can also find me on Gab at Real David Duke and Odyssey at Real David Duke. And go to my Odyssey, and by the way, listen to my programs. You can get them on archive this week. Go to davidduke.com, and you can also find links in Gab. And listen to them. I think you're really going to get an education.
Got to go there. And, ladies and gentlemen, this guy is one of my best friends in life. Known him for a long, long time. Friend of the family. You can find him at davidduke.com. Now, the first Republican presidential debate is scheduled for August 23rd. Can you believe we're already in an election? Presidential election season. Now, Donald Trump may or may not be there. He may or may not be in court or in jail.
He may be in prison. You don't know.
DavidDuke.com. David Duke will be at DavidDuke.com.
Just remember, the New Testament's full of one good line. It says, no one spake of him for fear of the Jews. That's exactly what's going on with Donald Trump.
That's right. Yeah, go read about the crucifixion. They freed Barabbas, did they not?
Yeah, the Pharisees of old are the Jews of today.
All right, gentlemen, we have to push a pause there. David, we love you. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for coming on tonight. A little surprise appearance, and we'll be back with more next. Stay tuned.